The following is a recording of the Maria Verona teleconference with iAdvise on Friday, July 25th, 2014 at 10 a.m. Central Time. Welcome to the Mega Cable conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. This call is being recorded. For opening remarks and introductions, I will now turn the call over to Melanie Carpenter from iAdvise Corporate Communications.
Thank you. Good day, everyone. Today, Megacable will be discussing its second quarter 2014 results. Thank you very much for joining us. With us today from Guadalajara are Mr. Enrique Yamuni Robles, Megacable's CEO, and Mr. Luis Zetter, Chief Financial and Administrative Officer. They will be taking your questions during the Q&A portion. Unfortunately, Deputy Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Raimundo Fernandez, will not be on today's call due to a scheduling conflict. It's important to mention that statements made today may constitute forward-looking statements. These do not account for future economic circumstances, company performance, or financial results. They're subject to various conditions. For a complete disclaimer, we ask that you please refer to the quarterly release, which was issued yesterday. If you didn't receive the information and would like to be added to Megacable's mailing list, please contact iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3695. And with that, it's my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Yamuni Robles for his presentation. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Melanie. Good day, everyone, and thank you for being with us today to this conference call. During the first half of this year, Megacable reached its performance goals in terms of subscriber growth, product offerings, digitalization, and profitability, all while maintaining a solid financial position. This was achieved due to the right product offering in key markets combined with the desired plan execution. Let me provide you with an update on reforms in which signifies for Megacable a new era of opportunity, so the benefits will not change what we have already been discussing for Megacable. For starters, in terms of interconnection, the asymmetry in termination rate, as well as the ban on the on-net, off-net, was confirmed by the bill. In terms of long distance, operators can no longer charge long distance rates after January 2015. For us, this bill did what it set out to do, which was to create a more dynamic competitive environment in the Mexican market, and one in which Megacable is already an aggressive player. We believe that we are poised to have been ready for quite some time to take advantage of this environment, and we are familiar with the actions we must continue to take in order to keep thriving as a company for many years to come. We recently announced a plan to acquire a majority stake in PCTV, a premium Mexican cable TV content and transport provider. At this point, we are waiting the necessary approvals from the authorities and expect to close this transaction by year-end. We expect that such steps will better position Megacable to capitalize on the new realities of our sector. Moving on to the operating results, the video segment registered the strongest performance in terms of net adds, increasing its base by over 68,000 net additions during the quarter and by 122,000 subscribers over the year, a 3% and 6% increase respectively. This was mainly the result of targeted marketing campaigns that were aimed, among others, at the World Cup 2014 viewership, which was quite high. Internet and telephony presented interesting subscriber growth as well during this period. The internet segment rose by 7% with a net addition of approximately 68,000 for the quarter and 24% in the number of subscribers year over year, with more than 216,000 net adds. On the other hand, telephony registered increases of 4%, implying net additions of 23,000 during the quarter and 67,000 net additions year over year, a 12% increase. Finally, the digital video segment increased by over 5% in the quarter for a total net add of 70, 4,018% year over year. For net adds, 2015,000. This was mostly a result of our digitalization project, totaling 1.4 million main digital set-top boxes and over 1.7 million as the second or additional outlets. As a result of all these efforts, the company posted a 4% increase in RGUs on the second quarter 2014, totaling approximately 4 million units as of June 30, 2014, while unique subscribers accounted for approximately 2.4 million, increasing RGUs per unique subscribers to 1.67. Megacable experienced a strong second quarter with sales of 2.88 billion pesos, 14% growth year over year, and an EBITDA growth of 13% in the same period. Cash and temporary investment increased 1 billion pesos, or 34% compared to the second quarter of 2014. At June 30th, Megacable achieved a net cash position of 1.66 billion pesos due to Megacable's high cash generation. The consolidated net debt to EBITDA ratio reached minus 0.34 times and interest coverage reached 38.16 times at the end of the period, record figures for the company. From a technical standpoint, Megacable has achieved substantial improvements in the network in our continuous effort to offer the customers innovative services while at the same time preparing the platform for our next generation service delivery. In telephony, we are steadily executing the plan of migrating customers to a new voice platform known as IMS, IP Multimedia Subsystem, where we will be able to complement our telephone service with new applications. So far, we have concluded most of the migration, reaching 53% completion. In our commitment for constant network improvement, Megacable is seeking to increase redundancy architecture in our international backbone by establishing diversity with various internet backbone providers. This action will create a new service availability ecosystem for Megacable that will update the current one, adding speed and lowering costs. As mentioned last quarter, we are aggressively deploying DOCSIS 3.0 throughout our coverage area. At this point, we have already reached 53% DOCSIS 3.0 network readiness, offering higher speed and improved service quality. It is common knowledge that IPv6 is a mandatory initiative for any cable operator. Megacable has already transitioned 98% of the core infrastructure to the new IPv6 architecture. We have begun working on the aggregation and access layers as part of our goal to conclude the entire network migration by the third quarter of 2016. As we have mentioned in previous calls, we aim to centralize our head end while creating full redundancy as we comply with Tier 3 certifications, also comprising a data center facility that will host our cloud-based products. The company has recently used a successful proposal for the master head-end design and construction. Our over-the-top solution, named Megacable Play, is taking off. As part of our innovation commitment, we are poised to launch a new graphical interface to our OTT products, completely revamping the user experience and also promoting a single sign-on platform where our customers will be able, from a single authentication point in our OTT portal, to access a variety of content from our video partners. That concludes my comments. I will turn things over to our CFO, Luis Cetes, to review on our key financials. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Enrique. Good morning, everyone. I'll now go through review briefly some of the highlights of the earnings release that were sent out yesterday. Megacable's consolidated revenues increased 14% from second quarter 2013 to the second quarter 2014, reaching 2.8 billion pesos. Again, the company delivered strong revenue numbers. On a percentage basis, video contributed 55% of revenue, internet 23%, telephony 11%, and corporate now is on the 10%. Cost increased 13% year over year, mainly due to the addition of Ola, which represents 10 points of the growth, and the remaining 3 points are due to Megacable's organic growth, the 11% of RGUs increase, as well as the efforts related to commercial strategy, what was partially offset by the most current most offered programming benefits. Operating expenses rose 17% year over year. The incorporation of Ola as well in this line represented 5 of these 17 points. The remainder 12 points are very much in line with the 11% RGU growth, plus the impact of sales commissions associated to the same growth in subscribers. Consolidated EBITDA rose 13% compared to the second quarter of 2013, reaching 1,195 million pesos for an EBITDA margin of 43%. Adjusted EBITDA for cable operations rose 9% from the second quarter 2013 to the second quarter 2014, to total 1,141 million pesos, reaching a margin over cable revenues of 45%. Net income totaled 579 million pesos, a 12% increase year over year, mainly, as already mentioned, by sustained revenue growth for the company and our corporate division. The cost is in line with the increase in our subscriber base and a little bit diminished by the tax rate. Lastly, during the second quarter, Megacable invested 693 million in CAPEX for a total of 1,082 million pesos for the year, in line with the company guidance of 2,505 million for 2014. This investment was mainly allocated towards the purchase of terminal subscriber equipment, growth and modernization of the cable network, and the acquisition of fixed assets. That concludes our presentation. We will now be happy to take your questions. Operator, please begin the Q&A session.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the 1 key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. And if you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may do so by pressing star 2. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question.
Our first question comes from Michelle Morin from Morgan Stanley.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about your market share and competitive trends in your footprint. Specifically, wondering if you have you know, an internal estimate of what your share is, what it's been doing, and also if you can comment on how prepared you think you are for the eventuality of competition from the incumbent. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, sure. We don't. It's hard to since there are not public figures of the satellite competitors or the other fixed line competitors in a city by city basis. It's very hard to keep track of market share. What we can tell you is that we are the most important video provider in our market. So for that we are the largest video provider in our market. We have the largest market share. But normally there are three or four video providers normally, in some cases up to 5, like in certain markets like Puebla. In those markets we have less. In markets like Guadalajara, where there are at least 3, we have more. But you can, what I would guess is that we have the majority without being a provider that holds over maybe, you know, in the best case, 70-75% of the video market in certain selected markets. Overall, it's hard to tell because of the lack of data in a market by market. Nationwide, we hold about 16 to 17% of total video or pay television subscribers in Mexico. In data, we have about, I would say, a little bit less than Telmex, which is the other big broadband provider in all markets. But Telmex still has still a little bit more subscribers than we do in a market by market basis. We are being very successful in the strategy we have launched. The new subscribers have been mainly or mostly coming to our service. So we are adding more new subscribers than what Telmex is doing. And this is not as a result of the regulation. This is a result of market searches, because the regulation has not yet come in effect. The new law will come in effect by the end of August, and the measurements that the regulators took against Telmex as a preponderant player have not yet still really working or being in effect. We're still talking to them, and it's not yet really doing any effect in the market, because they have not dictated any measurements with respect to the broadband provision. In telephony, obviously, we are very, very far away from Telmex. The opportunity there is really big. We would think that Telmex still keeps about 85% of the total market share of fixed telephone lines. And how well prepared are we for the preponderant or for Telmex, in case American Mobile and Telmex come into the scenario of pay television to their fixed lines? Because they are already doing it through Dish, which obviously that Dish is a big part of their operation. We think that we are very well prepared, and we will be much better positioned by the time they get the permit, if they get it. We have just signed an agreement with a major technology provider, worldwide provider of video and broadband solutions, that really gave us the ability to do most of our services through the cloud. So our guide and OTT platform will be available for most of our subscribers, and we will be able to provide cloud DVR services and VOD services all across our platform. Currently, we do provide the service of video home video recording with the DVR. And we already provide VOD services, but we're working in a new platform that will be a lot more efficient and much, much less costly for us and for the subscriber. So we are very well positioned, and we are working to be in a very much better position in a very short time.
Great, thank you. That's very helpful. And just to clarify what you were saying about broadband, within your markets, you feel that you're gaining share at the expense of Telmex?
Well, yes, it has to be at the expense of, but I'm not very sure that we are migrating a lot of subscribers. What I would think is that we are getting a bigger chunk of the new market that is coming, the ranking market, the new subscribers.
Okay.
And we will be able to take more subscribers from them as the asymmetry of the law starts applying.
Okay. And then are you seeing in your broadband, are you seeing any shift to, maybe some customers choosing a broadband-only solution with the intent of using over-the-top video?
Not really. I mean, I think over-the-top has not become yet in Mexico a substitution of linear pay television. I think it's much more like a complement. We still have a lot of content that is not available in OTT. People want to have a lot of local programming that is not available yet in the OTT platforms. And I think there's a lot of years to come before that starts happening. That's my personal point of view. We don't see people yet getting brought down. I mean, there is, it's got to be somebody, but it's not still noticeable in the market.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Our next question comes from Carlos de Legarreta from GVM.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Basically, I just want to know if you can give us some further details on what are the expectations for savings regarding the elimination of long distance in Mexico and some other regulatory measures that I don't know if you can comment further on that. I know you have already mentioned the pay TV part, but especially I would like to know what do you see, what are your comments or view on the industry outlook going forward? Thank you.
Green savings from the long distance, mm-hmm. That's just back in 2015.
Yes, the long distance, I think that long distance has not been a big part of our revenues in the telephony side. Our biggest revenue by far is the fees or the subscriber, monthly subscription that the customer pays. Obviously, there's going to be an impact because we have some revenue there, but it's not something that we won't be able to offset through other revenues, because we think that we will be able to grow our telephony revenues with more subscribers. We're growing at a very healthy rate, and it's obvious that there's going to be an impact. They are talking about something like 20 billion pesos, which nationwide savings for the customers. That's what the regulator said, and we don't have not even I think I would say that we have 3.3% of that amount. I mean, we're talking about what. Huh? No, we have about our total revenue. That is going to be like two and a half million of on a yearly basis. 2.5 million pesos. So that doesn't really account for a big amount of our revenue. And we are working in strategies to provide the customer with other features and other things that. We are trying to keep our output in telephony. It's going to be hard, but in case they diminish, it's going to be very, very small impact.
Okay, and yeah, exactly. I share that view that perhaps customers will have more available or disposable income for other services. And just a follow up. We're just talking about PCTV on the last conference call. I don't know if you can further disclose details on the transaction. I know it's not, it has yet to be approved, but I don't know if you can comment on the reason behind it.
It's not relevant. I mean, it's what the money we are going to disburse for this operation is around $10 million or something like that, a bit more than that. So it's not relevant at all. I think it's much more the benefit we will get by far than what we're paying for that company.
Okay,
this
perfect.
As I told you, the total disbursement we're doing, maybe, I don't know, it's $12 million.
Less than that. It's like $5 to $6 million.
Total? Yeah, for the chunk we're paying. Yeah, for the chunk we're paying. It's not that much.
Okay, thank you. Just a final quick follow-up. You also mentioned that you were looking into options to consolidate maybe in Mexico or maybe in Central America. Do you have any updates on this or any particular companies that you're looking at?
No, not yet. Sorry.
Okay, that's fair.
We haven't.
That's fair.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, gentlemen, our next question comes from Homero Ruiz from Signum Research.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. With all the movements in Mexican telecom markets, do you plan to expand MVNO operations or maybe participating on AMX offerings?
Yes, we are exploring. We have an MVNO with Movistar. Movistar is our provider for MVNO, but we kind of were freed from that about over a year ago. We decided not to push that anymore. We still have some customers. We maintain those customers, but that is a service that is very steadily. You know, we don't have a lot of customers there, but I think we have like 10,000. Yeah, customers around less than 10,000. We don't offer that or sell that anymore. And about January last year, we decided not to. That wasn't a good business for us. We were making a little money, but it was hard to really do a competitive offer with the restrictions we had with the MVNO contract signed with the provider. But with the new law, there's an opportunity. Obviously, we don't know what is going to happen because, as you know, American Mobile decided to sell their most of their infrastructure. The towers and the radio sales are going to be for sale. I think I heard something that they decided not to do it 2 days ago. But I'm
yeah,
not sure.
Yeah, they told us it's not an offer anymore.
So it makes sense for them to sell the infrastructure because in their hands, their infrastructure is part of the preponderance, and they will be obligated to lease the disaggregated elements of the network to third parties in a model based in code. If they sold that, the buyer wouldn't be a preponderant and he wouldn't be obligated to rent that to third parties at a certain price. It would be leased to anyone, I would think, at a market price. So we don't know what is going to happen. We obviously, in any of those cases, a market, the only thing that would vary would be the price of the or the cost to lease that infrastructure. But obviously, we are very interested in doing that, and we saw that about 2 years ago, and we decided to change our telephony platform, as I explained in my speech. Earlier, that we're changing that to an IMS technology platform that will allow us to mesh the fixed line to the mobile line. So you will be able to have your fixed line in your mobile phone, even if you are outside your home or in your home, and we'll be able to use it through a Wi-Fi platform. We're deploying a big Wi-Fi platform, and we already signed roaming contracts with our cable peers, with Cablemas, Cablevisión, TBI, and we're in process of doing that with other cable operators. So our subscribers and their subscribers will be able to use anyone's Wi-Fi hotspot at no cost. So basically, we will have a nationwide footprint that will allow us and our customers to use their fixed phone in any Wi-Fi spot that they find. And also, their mobile number will be able to do that through a Wi-Fi network. So we're working on that. We are waiting for the regulator to come out with the rules to use that infrastructure or the disaggregation of the preponderant network.
Okay, just let me clarify. You are saying, you could say that if the price is adequate for leasing their infrastructure, you could consider renewing your MVNO operation?
Well, yeah, we'll have to look at it, because with this MVNO that we have signed, we are not allowed to use any of our elements. The MVNO allowed us to use the cell provider total infrastructure. So we're resellers of their service. What we intend to do is a different MVNO, but we will use part of our infrastructure and part of the cellular company infrastructure. For instance, we have switches, we have numbering, we have long distance network, we have a Wi-Fi, big Wi-Fi operation. We have the last mile in the house of the subscriber, so we intend to use that network as part of the cellular MVNO operation.
Okay, perfect. Just one last question. In which region do you concentrate your corporate operations, and what could be the main driver to expand this segment?
Can you rephrase the question, please?
Yes, of course. In which region did you concentrate your corporate operations, and what could be the main driver to expand this segment?
Which segment? The MVNO?
Corporate operations.
Oh, corporate. Obviously, in larger cities. Guadalajara is the largest city we operate at. But there are markets like Querétaro, Puebla, Torreón, Hermosillo. The big capital cities of the state where we're afraid. We have a big opportunity there. The Bajío region, which is Salamanca, León, we have Querétaro also, the operation of Querétaro. That's where we expect the largest growth. But we are also, remember that a lot of our strategy, or big part of our strategy, is go to the small and medium businesses. And those are all across our infrastructure, all across our market. Because that's a market that has not been very well attended. They feel like they are lost in a big city. So we have a big opportunity there to pay attention to those guys and offer them with competitive infrastructure that measures broadband and fixed telephony. And if we are able to do a good offer with a mobile phone to an MVNO, that's going to help us a lot.
Okay, thank you very much, Enrique and Luis.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Andre Saba from Credit Suisse.
Yes, thank you, Enrique and Luis. Good morning. Thank you for being so open in your answers. I wanted to ask you about churn. Because we have little data points about how the churn rate looks for other members of the cable industry or the pay TV industry in Mexico. So I was first question, I was wondering if you could give us some color on what you know about how your churn compares to the industry.
There are two types of churn. Let me tell you that. If you're a company that doesn't grow, I mean, your number of subscribers is pretty stable, you stay pretty much in the same level, then your churn will be lower. Because, well, all you have to do is sell whatever you're going to be losing, or subscribers that you are going to be churning this month. You really want to grow, you have to be very aggressive, and churn goes up. Because you have to be very aggressive in acquiring subscribers, and the number of subscribers, you know, that churns is higher, because, new subscribers are more unstable than older subscribers. We have a lot of subscribers that come in for 2 months, 3 months, and then go out because they realize they can't pay for the service. Normally it's that. It's lower economical classes that can, you know, they realize that they can't keep the service, and then maybe they go out and they will come in again in maybe 6 months, 8 months. But yes, companies that grow, at the same rate, at the rate we're growing, have pretty much the same churn rate. When we go there and buy, you know, smaller operations, and you see those guys have the same number of subscribers or a little slightly lower this year than last year, their growth is maybe half of us or three quarters of us. And that's the reason. It's not a performance issue or it's not a matter of service. It's a matter of economy. That's why our costs go up when we, you know, are very aggressive getting new subscribers, because you have to pay commissions, you have to go out and get it. I mean, most companies, smaller companies or not structural companies, they don't have a sales force. So you get it, they get subscribers that walk into their office, or they call, or they get a phone call from them that they want to get a service. We're very aggressive. Our sales force is comprised of about 3,000 salespeople that are knocking on their doors on doors all year round, every day of the week.
Okay, thanks a lot. And how much? I'm trying to get an idea of how much it costs to add new clients, not about your subscriber acquisition costs. So I was wondering if you could share some thoughts about that, and maybe if you could tell us, like, at what rate do you reutilize the set-top boxes and other pieces of PPE? No, because I guess that if you get a customer for like 2 or 3 months, then you will probably reutilize those.
The CPE is reusable. We recover that. We maintain that. Cosmetize the equipment. You know, make it look like new and install it again. That's not a problem. Obviously we lose equipment at a normal rate. We lose about 2% of total base a year, which is a very reasonable number, and that's considering our cost. The acquisition cost with our labor is very low. You would think that the acquisition cost sales commission is about
$10.
The license commission is about $10. It's about $10 plus some other costs associated. And the cost of rolling a truck and sending a technician to sell materials and equipment is around $30 to $35 per new home installed. And it varies a little bit, depends on how many additional outlets he gets. And obviously, if he gets a broadband, we have to put a little bit more cost on that, plus the CPE that we need to install, because for the broadband, it's a different CPE. We need to install a cable modem with Wi-Fi, or a cable modem and an access point separated. But it's all considered, and we do not expense the CPE. The CPE is part of our capex. We expense all our drafts that are part of our churn. We only capitalize the drafts that stay with us at the end of the year. So, for instance, we started the year with 1 million customers, and we finished the year with 1,050,000 customers. We only send 50,000 new drops to our CapEx. The rest of the drops we did during the year, we extended. So we send that to the expense of the company. So we are not overvaluating our network or our drops.
Okay, understood. Is there any other element of the missing, or
that would be it. We don't account advertising and all that. That's part of the operation.
And have you given any disclosure about how much of the SG&A is advertising or marketing?
Well, that's in our financial, but we publish advertising and all that.
Okay, but other than general and administrative expenses, or?
No.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, our next question comes from Rodrigo Villanueva from Merrill Lynch.
Hi, good morning, Enrique, Luis. I have a couple of questions, if I may. First, I was wondering if you could share with us the size of the market for corporate income and carriers. Who is the leader there? What's your share, and which are your targets? That would be the first question.
Okay. Well, the size is very big. I think that we have about the total that we have of that market in our service area is around 12%. So we still have a lot of room to grow. The other big player, obviously, is Telmex. I would say that we are the second player in our market. That's easier to track because you can go to the association, the Chamber of Commerce. You can go and do some research there with the Industrial Association through some market research, you can pretty much say the market. But I would say that Telmex keeps about 80% of total market share there. We have about 12%, and the rest is Axtel and Alesta and all the other players. I would think that we have a great opportunity in smaller companies, medium and small companies. Big corporations, obviously, we go after them, but it's harder because they already have a good specialized provider that is Alestra or Axtel or Telmex. And those guys have normally a long-term deal because it involves equipment. It involves PBXs. It involves routing equipment. It involves a lot of other things. Or they normally have operations in other cities, and they have a global contract with the provider. We are going after those. We have a good experience that we have gotten contracts with OXXO, with Farmacias Guadalajara, with Peñoles. We have good customers already there. And on top of that, we provide services also to the carriers. We also provide services to Axtel, to Bestel, to Alestra in our service areas. We provide for them a lot of times the last mile that they don't have, and that's part of the business also. So we compete with them, but at the same time we're partners.
Thank you very much. Yes, that's perfect. So, well, just to follow up on this one, do you also, because as you mentioned, your competitors sometimes offer equipment as part of this revenues. Do you also have some equipment sales here, or it's only the service that you provide?
No, that's why we acquired Ola. Remember that we disclosed the acquisition of Ola. Ola is the fourth largest company in Mexico, which is a long way from Red Uno, which is
number one
property of Telmex. Number one, and Ola Now we are good partners of Cisco, Avaya, Hewlett-Packard. So we have a lot of expertise now in buying and reselling equipment, integrating services, installing intelligent networks in buildings, selling PBXs, routing equipment, anything. We are able to go to corporations and offer an integrated service that comprises of equipment, administrative services, connectivity, anything they need. And we are able also to provide credit for them, you know, loans for them, or long-term services, administrative services that include equipment as well as connectivity, as any other big competitor does, like Telmex or Alestra or Axtel. We are doing the same thing that they do.
And also
okay, thank you very
other
much.
Targets, and Rodrigo, other targets are also government.
Yeah,
which we have a very good a footprint also in the different types of government, federal and local government.
Yeah, we do some things with federal. Yeah. OLA has a contract, and we have one contract with the SAT, with Comisión Federal de Electricidad. We have contracts with Corona,
Banobras.
And but obviously now one of the big strong targets that we have with OLA is the local governments. We are very we have a big presence in local governments. We have local channels. We are by far the telecom provider that has more presence with, you know, along with Telmex in those cities. We are the two local companies there, and we have a big opportunity with local government.
Okay, thank you very much. And my next question is, if you could share with us the amount of savings you had in the second quarter as a result of the 33% reduction on AMX's interconnection rates.
The amount of reduction on interconnection rates.
No, we don't have that. We can send that.
I'll send it to you. Should be on the financial numbers, but I'll send it to you.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the 1 key on your touch-tone phone now.
Our next question comes from Brian Flores from Interacciones.
Hi, Luis Enrique. Thank you for being so clear in your responses. I have a question. We saw the ARPUs on across the board falling not only on a quarter-to-quarter basis, but also on a year-to-year basis. Do you have any comments on this, and do you see this trend continuing? And I don't know if you could give us some color on why are we seeing these results. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, we have seen a reduction in ARPUs during this quarter. And a lot of that has to do with the commercial efforts to increase subscribers, to attract more subscribers, the World Cup, and other commercial efforts that have been successful in bringing subscribers, but at the cost of part of our ARPUs. And for the future, what we see is that our ARPUs will be steady. We will keep our efforts, but we'll be on a different direction, and also we are taking some of the actions like the digitalization project and charging for the second, third outlets and on TV, etc. So there are other efforts to really compensate for the loss on ARPUs when we acquire subscribers with packages or with smaller services.
Also, as we grow the RGUs per unique subscribers, we give, it's obviously that we're giving more discounts to the subscriber, because that means that the same subscriber takes more services, and he's entitled to get a third discount. But we don't see a red light or in our ARPUs in the future. We are okay with that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Welcome.
Okay, we have a follow-up from Andre Saba from Credit Suisse.
Yes, thank you. Just one more follow-up question. I wanted to ask if there's an update on whether there will be a dividend payment this year or not, or I think last quarter you said it depended on whether you got more clarity on the M&A side, but not sure if there's an update to that. Many thanks.
No, I don't have a clue on that. I mean, it's we have a board meeting next month, and we may or we might not discuss that's up to the board. It depends on how the board sees the situation of the use of the money. I mean, we don't have a use for the money for sure. Right? I don't think that the board will have a problem giving a dividend. But that would depend on how we see the scenario in our next meeting. The company has a good, good and strong balance sheet. But that's a poor decision, and that's something that is hard for me to give you a definite answer.
Okay, very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, gentlemen, there are no more questions at this time, so I'm going to turn back the call to Mr. Yamuni for his closing remarks.
Thank you very much, and we really appreciate your interest in the company, and we will, obviously answer any other questions that you may have if you send them to an email or even a phone call. And please don't hesitate to contact our Investor Relations Department if you have any additional questions or concerns. And thank you again. Mayor Carlos will continue to do its, our best effort to keep delivering good results to our shareholders and being a better company per year. Thank you for your interest and hope to hear from you soon. Luis?
No. Well, thank you, everybody. Thanks for your questions and attention, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.